There are a number of ways to try to figure out how people lived hundreds or thousands of years ago. You can look at documents or environmental records, for instance, or you can use human remains to understand the big questions about what people were doing in the past. That's what the relatively young field of bioarchaeology tries to do. It's only about 40 years old, and ASU houses a couple of journals on the subject, including a new one that debuted this summer. To find out more, I visited Kelly Knudsen's office. She's director of the Center for Bioarchaeological Research at ASU, and I started our conversation by asking if bioarchaeology could fairly be described as a matter of trying to figure out the lives of people as opposed to just maybe where they might have been.
Exactly. So traditional, say before 1977, a lot of people were looking at human remains in the archaeological record as, you know, how old was this person? What sex was this person? Did they have any diseases or cavities? But with bioarchaeology, we try to look at those basic questions and then add much bigger questions about what kind of lives did they lead? What can we figure out if we can look at hundreds or thousands of individuals in the past and how we can learn about them from that perspective?
How do you go about trying to figure all that stuff out just based on bones or teeth or skulls or whatever it is that you have?
So one of the things that's great about the work we do here at ASU is that there's lots of different ways that you can analyze human remains in the past. So we have some faculty are using genetics, like ancient DNA work, in the skeletons themselves. Others are looking at proxies, like measuring teeth to look at how people were related to other groups in the past, which is nice because it's not destructive, but it still gives you some of that information. A lot of what I do with my research group is look at chemical signatures in bones and teeth to figure out what kind of foods people ate in the past, where they lived, and then we combine all of those different lines of evidence together to figure out how people were living in the past.
Are all those chemicals still there, potentially hundreds or thousands of years later?
Absolutely. So in my lab, we've worked with samples up to about 10,000 years old.
Wow.
And we can still figure out, maybe not what someone had for lunch or breakfast, but in general, what kind of foods they were eating over their lifetime when that tooth or that bone was forming.
Is there some amount of extrapolation that you have to do to really get some answers based on what you have? You maybe just have to sort of say, okay, well, it's possible or it's plausible that maybe this means X.
Absolutely. As with any other science, there's things you can say and things you just can't. So, for example, with a lot of the diet work I do, I can't tell you the absolute specific of what meal someone ate, but it's more of a lifetime average. Or I could rule out certain foods, but not others. So there's absolutely constraints. And that's why it's nice to have so many different lines of evidence, which is what bioarchaeology does really well. It's not just the human skeleton, but all these other lines of evidence from archaeology that we then pull in.
So you mentioned that this is, within the last 40 or so years, a pretty new field. How big is it outside of ASU?
Bioarchaeology is growing really rapidly. It's, I think, partly because of things like Bones and CSI, where people see TV shows and they think this is really exciting and interesting and fun. So we have a lot of students, growing numbers of students, both at ASU and internationally, who are really drawn to what we do here, and sort of combining the physical sciences and the social sciences and the humanities all in this one package.
Do you find that this has applications for things like law enforcement as opposed to just sort of the sciences more broadly?
Absolutely. So there's a number of us here who also work with the forensics community.
Is there a specific period of time that is either most interesting to you or is maybe ripe with samples that you can analyze and try to figure out what life was like at that time?
So for me, a lot of my work focuses on a period about 1,000 years ago in South America. And it's interesting to me because it's a time when there's both major political change. So there's a massive empire that then collapses. And it's also a time with major environmental changes. So there's a huge drought that lasted probably 100 years. So for me, I'm really interested in how people were impacted by those major changes.
So how do you try to figure all this stuff out?
It's sadly much more tedious than I think it sometimes looks on TV.
You can't wrap everything up in an hour, huh?
Sadly, no, as many students have learned. So it's often years of painstaking research, first with excavations in the field and then with exporting samples that can't be analyzed in place and then analyzing them here.
You guys have started a journal of bioarchaeology. I'm wondering, who you expect your readers to be and what kinds of stuff do you expect to learn from the various submissions that you get?
So we have, we're really proud that we have two journals here at ASU that we host. One is Bioarchaeology International, and then the other is the International Journal of Paleopathology. And they're both new, and they both reflect this sort of growing interest in the field. So I think in some cases, the work will be of interest to bioarchaeologists worldwide. But ideally, people from outside the field will also be excited about whether it's the chemical signatures in one particular article that are useful for their research in geology or environmental studies, or research on certain diseases in the past that then would be very exciting and very interesting to people who are looking at those diseases in the present. So the goal is that it's by showing the real variety of research that's happening that people from many different fields will start to see the impact.
Is it safe to describe this field, do you think, as sort of an intersection of maybe social sciences and physical sciences, biological sciences, where you're doing some hardcore like lab analysis with lots of fancy equipment and math and things like that, but you're also looking at sort of how people behaved and how people acted and the kinds of decisions that they made?
Absolutely. And I would argue that we have the humanities as well. We're really pulling in all kinds of different things. And I think that's part of why it's so appealing to students, that it has all of those aspects.
Kelly Knudsen is the director of the Center for Bioarchaeological Research at ASU.